Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further, because you've reached the Power Cosmic Podcast. Each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrific Con and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, will talk about the stuff you love. Now sit back and talk about comics, TV, movies, toys, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome to an episode of the Power Cosmic. I am waiting for my pizza to kick in so I can get my energy going. But until that time, there's one man who never ceases to amaze me with his energy. And that's the other end of this phone right now. It's Mr. John Cimino. Say hello.
Hey, what up? What's up, Mitchie?
Well, not me right now. But anyway, we are going to summon the Power Cosmic. I'm going to get into it. We have a great episode today. We have a review that was recorded literally seconds after the film was over. And with the film, I mean, I'm talking about the Avengers Infinity War. It was recorded last week in Secaucus, New Jersey, when I took you and Mr. Roy Thomas to the movies. We went to go see the picture, and folks are going to hear our reactions to it. But now that it's been at least 3 or 4 days, I've seen the movie 3 times. I think you've seen it 4 times, right?
Yeah. Oh, and Mitch, I'm throwing a little credit to you here because I didn't even think of it. After the movie, you just turned on the phone and you had it going. And you were right on the ball. And I looked and you had the phone going and you were like, let's do this. And I was like, oh, this is a good one, Mitch.
That's because I'm a consummate professional, John. I actually... I had more that I wanted to talk to Roy, but it had to be like midnight, I think. It was after midnight, maybe?
Yeah, it was kind of late. And don't forget, it was after a con.
Yeah, you can hear it in our voices. We sound very tired, but, you know, it was a long day. I mean, we'd been up for hours and stuff, and then to sit there and talk about the movie, because I regret on the way back to the hotel when we were walking, Roy and I were talking about the difficulties in making a team movie, you know, giving every character their moment to shine when you have like 50 to 60 characters. And he would know from doing all those years of the Justice Society team ups and all that stuff. I mean, he had to juggle a lot of characters. But I turned the microphone off because even though I was enjoying the conversation, sometimes you just want to just talk to people and not, you know, be on. You know how
it's hard because you want to record the, and we usually say it after, like, damn, we should have recorded that. But it is hard. You just kind of just want to talk, you know? And
yeah, exactly. It's, yeah, that's so I turned it off. I mean, hey, if you want to talk to Roy and hear some stuff, come to this year's Terrific Con and you can hear him talk. But, you know, for the, like I said, we were having dinner and there was a gentleman who joined us at the dinner table. And this is just after a whole day of being at a con, and we were with Roy's lovely wife, Danny, and your friend, John. We were just sitting there trying to decompress, and it drove me crazy because this fella...
Let me give the people a little background. Yeah, okay. What happened was at the end of the con on Friday night, before we went to the theater, Roy had a panel. So it was an exclusive panel, only like people had to pay to get in there, so it was like 25 people in there. But there happened to be this guy that he was talking to Roy a lot. And then what happened was we just started migrating out. I contacted Mitch, oh, I'm going to be here, blah, blah. We all get together. Dan is there, my buddy John and Mitch, and we're all going to go to the out to dinner before we go to see Infinity War. And lo and behold, this guy is following Roy, who was in that panel. And then all of a sudden, Mitch comes. See, Mitch is very aware of like his surroundings. And when weirdos are about, Mitch gets nervous. And Mitch is like, who the hell is this guy? And I was like, I don't know. I go, he was just at the panel. And he ended up at the dinner with us that Roy and Dan paid for because, you know, it was on them and they're beautiful people like that. But they threw this guy a bone. But Mitch, you don't know this. The next morning, we were at breakfast. It was me, Roy, Dan, my buddy John, and Tony Isabella, right, at the hotel. And this guy comes up there in the same clothes and everything.
I saw that.
Okay. he's talking to Roy again. And how Roy subtly pushed him away was, Roy was just like, okay, we'll talk to you later. Like, he said that, like, so innocently. And so the guy sat down kind of at a table near us. Thank God John was there. He would have sat at John's chair. But he sat at the table near us, and then we just kind of forgot about him and left.
He found me at the convention. I was outside talking to Jim Starlin, and then I walked in to go to my booth, and he saw me. I can't remember. Oh, I was talking to this artist named Nicole that comes to our show every year, and he came running up to me and started. Yeah, he found me. I was talking to Nicole. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, sometimes I'm on. Like if we're doing the show, I'm on. But my crazy detector was off the charts. I was like, look, man, I don't want to talk right now.
I don't know.
Roy is definitely more diplomatic and subtle than the Mitchie is. The Mitchie gets the Mitch comes out sometimes in my eyes. Just you could tell we were both just looking at each other doing the eye rolls, and you know.
But you don't know how you do it. You put your mouth to the side a little bit and you get really close and you're like, what the hell is with this guy? You guys, you can freak out. It was funny though.
No, it's like I say to people, I love talking about comic books and movies and all that stuff, but sometimes you don't want to talk about that. I was sitting there trying to have a conversation with Danny about her school teaching and microeconomics and just to change the subject. I mean, it was just like, okay, enough. We've done this all day. You know, when you see a singer, you don't ask them to sing 24 hours a day, do you?
No. And the thing was it was just like, he just didn't have a lot of etiquette. That's what I learned in this. Like, they just
sometimes they don't know their ball. Well, I just dropped the thing. There you go. Are you there? Yeah. What? I dropped the mic. What happens is Roy is so generous with his time. He would sit there until 4 a.m. and talk to you. Which, God bless him. You know, he will. But not everybody's Roy Thomas, buddy.
Right, but see, that's funny because he whispers to me. See, this people don't look like behind the scenes. He always says, "John, manage my time right." Because thank God I'm there now for like interviews or whatever. Like I'll tell him 5 minutes because, like you said, he's so generous with his time, and sometimes he doesn't know how to end it. And he'll be talking to this guy for like 2 hours. Well, I can kind of step in there and be like, "All right, Roy's got to go now. He's got to go to his next thing." But he actually tells me that.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, like you said, you can get stuck with some of these people and you don't know how to get out of it.
Well, the funniest one I ever saw is Sean Gunn. And when Sean Gunn and I were at Terrific Con, like I think a year ago or whatever, he and I were just sitting there talking. We were out in the lobby, and it was the famous story where I was eating my giant ice cream and he was just sitting there having a drink. And somebody came up, and they take their pictures, and they move along. It's pretty good. But this one person wouldn't stop talking to us, and I'm just, like, looking at Sean. And same thing with you and Roy. My eyes are rolling. I'm like, come on, man. We've been doing this all day now. And then Sean just puts his hand out, and he goes to shake. He goes, well, it's been great to meet you. And that's how he gets out of it. And he just shakes your hand and thanks you. He's like, well, thanks a lot. It's been great to meet you. And that's how he gets out of them. It's amazing to me how quick it was. I told him before, I go, I got to learn that trick. I got to learn how to get out.
Even back in the day when I was like a fanboy and stuff, I was never like that. I never integrated myself with them that like I would just stick around. Like you say your hellos and goodbyes and you leave.
Yeah, because like you don't even know these people. And you're not invited to dinner and stuff. I was like, that was out there, you know. I said, who is this? I kept talking. I said, okay, we're walking towards the restaurant. We're walking. We're getting our table.
But
okay.
I would have put a kibosh on that, but I thought Roy invited him.
I don't know. Like I said, I think he was just being polite, and then you get like, now the guy's at our dinner table.
Yeah, right. So, I mean.
Yeah. Anyway, this is not a great Power Cosmic if we're going to sit there and just badger about fans and etiquette. All right, what we're talking about, and you and I, see, I hate this because you and I were on the phone yesterday, but we weren't recording, and we were going on about the Infinity War. Let's just set the story. It's made like over $258 million, set all-time box office records, defeated Star Wars for the biggest opening weekend. Internationally, if you combine it all, it's made $600-something million. So right before we get into the storyline, what do you think it's going to end up at? What's your prediction? Is it going to be $2 billion?
Yes, it's going to be the biggest movie of all time.
Wait, come on. That's a lot. That Avatar movie's at $2.4 billion or something like that.
Yeah, but what hurt Star Wars was it always ends up last in China, and China doesn't like Star Wars, so they never get that bump. But look at how well Black Panther did. Black Panther pales in comparison to the Infinity War. You don't think it's going to be Avatar?
I would hope it does, because the last few days, James Cameron, the director and writer of Avatar, has come out and made a lot of stupid comments that, you know, the world is suffering Marvel fatigue and enough is enough. I was like, shut the hell up.
Yeah, because he doesn't want his movies beaten. But I think it's going to be the biggest movie of all time. That's what I think. It's going to be worldwide biggest of all time. It's going to beat Avatar.
Well, there you go. All right, we'll see. So I'm going to say it. I say it ends at $2.2 billion in the final outcome and misses the record, but you're saying it's going to be Avatar. So we'll just have to wait and see. Right now it's going crazy. Like I said, I've seen it in theaters three times. It was sold out on Thursday. It was sold out when I saw it with you and Roy. I did go Monday to a matinee, and it wasn't sold out, but then again, it was Monday morning at 11:30, and people work, so at the movies. But anyway, so you'll hear our reactions in a couple minutes. I know you were crying. You love Thanos now, correct?
Correct, and I have to admit, it had a bunch of moments that I just couldn't cry. I attacked you a few times. Did I attack you?
Yes, you did. I was on one side and Roy was on the other, and you kept grabbing my arm like, oh, my God.
I have a different type of Tourette's. Like, when things start happening and I can't control my body, I sometimes have to grab something and punch and scratch. And I grabbed Mitch a few times in his arm. I jumped on Roy a few times. There were some moments in there that were huge, huge moments.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I told you from the beginning of that movie to the very end after credit, I can't recall a movie that had 2.5 hours of nonstop action like that.
Yeah, it was like going on a roller coaster, and then it's like, it just starts, and it just keeps going. Like, let me throw a part out there. When Captain America shows up, and you see his image, and he catches the spear,
yeah,
like, oh my God, I wanted to start crying. That was so unbelievable. That was such great. And when, let me just throw another part. When Thor shows up again after he makes Stormbreaker and he goes,
oh yeah,
he goes, I want Thanos. And then you're just like, oh my God. Look, I'm getting a little choked up right now, Mitchie.
I swear, they had their character moments. I don't think Iron Man had a good one.
You don't think Iron Man did? The one that didn't have the moment, it was the Hulk.
Yeah.
Obviously something was going on. But, and I know that's all over the internet and all this hubbub, but let's just say there's another movie coming up and we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, no, I'm trying, every single person had their big on-screen moment where the audience clapped. I remember when I saw it in the theaters, when Captain America shows up, the place went nuts. When Thor shows up at the end, like you said, people were screaming in the theater. Spider-Man, people were clapping. I don't recall Iron Man getting that big moment of cheers. The Guardians, I thought the Guardians of the Galaxy stole the show. They were funny from the second they
came. Yeah, Rocket was good, but I loved that battle between Thanos and Doctor Strange. And
oh, like, yeah.
But when he was blocking some of those beams and just the effect, and it was just like, and the sound, you were just like, oh my God, this is so awesome.
That was a
match as Doctor Strange was incredible.
That was a great comic book moment, how they had it all coordinated, like Iron Man was hitting him from one angle, Spider-Man was trying to pull the glove off, Mantis dropped out of nowhere to try to put him to sleep. I mean, it was crazy, all the different things.
Talk about Mantis for a second, Mitch. She was kind of like a background character. She had a major role in that movie. She kind of came into prominence, you know?
It was also cool, the fact that I announced her as coming to Terrific Con last week, Terrific Con at the Mohegan Sun. I know, how perfect timing was that? People don't know. I sit there, I have guests up my sleeve, but I go, nah, I'm going to wait to the right moment. You know, you're waiting for the right pitch to come in before you swing at it. And I knew I was going to announce Mantis, the actress that plays her. Pom Clementief, I believe, is the way you pronounce her last name. She's going to be at the show, but I waited till the Infinity War opened up and people were going nuts. So, oh my God.
Because she came into prominence in that movie. Like, she had, her and Drax had a great dynamic together and how they were connected.
I watched it. I tell you, I was watching her and there's some scenes. She does a lot in the background that you don't notice. But if you start to watch her, it's hysterical, like when they were on the planet and it had less gravity. And they're talking about Thanos. And if you look at her character in the background, she's jumping up and down, doing jumping jacks and just playing around because the gravity's lighter. But there's a funnier scene. I don't know if you caught it when they're in the Milano. And he goes, okay, Guardians, put on your angry face. Did you see what she was doing? If you watch that scene again, he goes, put on your angry face. You look at Mantis behind his shoulder, and she's making these, like, growling faces with her teeth like she's a dog. She just keeps doing that. And, the scene's going on, but if you watch her, she's still in the background going, arr, arr, like that.
I'm going to say, the movie had some great dynamics. I love the relationship between Vision and Scarlet Witch. Yep. It worked. I loved Iron Man and Doctor Strange. It just worked. And Thor with
Star-Lord.
Star-Lord. Star-Lord was like, you're one sandwich away from being fat.
Yeah. And then Drax goes, it's true, you put on some weight. And he's like, really? I'm going to go get a Bowflex. I'm starting.
And he goes, what did he say? You're a dude? What did he say? You're a dude?
Oh, no, he goes, this man, he's like, it's as if an angel had a baby with a pirate that Drax was loving Thor. And he goes, you're just a dude. This is a man.
And when they were kissing for the first time, Gamora and Star-Lord, and he's just sitting there watching, and he's been there for an hour, and he's saying how he became invisible.
Yeah.
It's so funny, like, how it's so outrageous. But it is so funny, and it kind of breaks up that tension it never stops, and it never seems out of place either.
Well, I feel bad for people that haven't watched all these movies, because if you just walked into this, you're not going to get all the subtle jokes, but I don't think many people just walked into the Infinity War. I think they've been around for the last 18 movies. You?
It's funny, like, okay, so the Power Gem was in Kree, right? Like, didn't the Kree have it?
Yeah, they had it locked away, but off camera they just said that he somehow wrecked that planet and stole it, right. So.
Okay. So that's why he had it. I thought the Black Order Mitch was fantastic too. Like those.
Yeah, they could have come across as like, you know, Muppets, but they didn't. I mean, they had the big guy, the creepy sorcerer guy. Did you notice that guy? His name is something Maw. I can't think of it right now. He's the one that was torturing Doctor Strange, and shows up on the Earth, and he does that little speech like, "Prepare yourself, because you have just given
your." At the very beginning of
yeah,
the movie.
Yeah, he goes, you've just given your life to the great Thanos. You are all children of Thanos now, you know. But if you look at his hands, he's got these rings on his fingers, these different types of rings, and he's a mystical thing. I almost look at him as like those were the Mandarin in the comics had those power rings, you know. I was thinking for a brief moment they could have fixed that storyline from Iron Man, but no one remembers the Mandarin anymore. But no, he was good. He was creepy. And then there was that one girl that attacked Proxima Midnight, I think. And she had the weird eyebrow thing that kind of wrapped around to her head. She was the one that was fighting Captain America, and she showed up at the end at Wakanda.
It's funny. I got so into it that like I actually went to go see the actors and actresses that played those roles.
Yeah.
Like just because I was so into it. And Mitch, come on, when Wakanda opens up the barrier and they're all running, and we talked about this.
Captain
America and Black Panther, they start out running, everybody else, and they're the first to leap into the fray. That was So,
well, yeah, because it would make sense that Cap would run faster because he's got the super soldier serum, and the same thing with Black Panther because he's got.
Well, he's got the vibranium. He's got the vibranium.
No, he drank the potion there.
Exactly. But if you notice, Black Panther was a little bit faster. You know, like he got there a little ahead.
Yeah, but I did notice that when they were running, and then you see them take the lead, and then they just, like you said, jumped into it. Did you?
Yeah, I think you nudged me and pointed to the screen at that.
And then they just started punching wildly. Did you miss the fact that Hawkeye wasn't there?
Did I miss that he was there? No, because I never even look at him, even when he's on the screen.
I know.
But yes, he was missing.
And Ant-Man and Wasp. And also Valkyrie wasn't there as well. And that other guy, Korg, the stone. Yeah. And him and that little weird thing, Meek, or whatever that thing was, Meep.
Well, they could possibly be dead, though, right? Because all the Asgardians.
I would hope not. No, they somehow Thor said half the Asgardians were killed, so I don't know where the other half went. Maybe Valkyrie and Meep took off with them to get away. We don't know.
Well, obviously, there's still so much more story to go into. It was just so big in scope. I never seen a movie that big in scope. It was like, I seriously felt when we left the theater, because we were in 3D, let's throw this out there too, we were in 3D second row.
So oh, God, yeah.
It was right in front of us. But when we left the theater, I felt like I was there, like I was actually in the battlefield. It was that powerful for me.
All right, so what about the story? What did you think of the character Thanos now that you saw him on screen and you saw why he was trying to get the Infinity Gems?
Okay,
because is he a good guy or a bad guy?
Well, it's one of those things. Okay, first let me throw out my thing for Thanos. I always hated Thanos since the 90s, since the beginning. I never cared about him because I always thought he was, and he was, just a knockoff of Darkseid. That's it. So I never gave him any respect. I couldn't stand the Infinity Gauntlet, all that stuff. But now I digress. After watching that, I'm a Thanos lover. People should know that I went out and I got the first appearance of Thanos. I got these first appearances of all these other. I went crazy because now I'm a Thanos follower now. And but I love, first off, let me just say, Josh Brolin's voice as Thanos. And you could see Josh Brolin a little bit in the Thanos face. That, like, it was just so believable. Like, Thanos looked real to me. There was never one part he looked awkward. Just the effects were incredible. Now, is he good or evil? It's almost that funny thing where he had that purpose to make the universe right. It's almost like he's kind of, follows his own laws and stuff, you know? I mean, they gave him heart and soul. Mitch, let me ask you this. What? Is he the greatest movie villain now of all time? Did he beat out the Joker, Heath Ledger's Joker, and did he beat out Darth Vader?
Well, I don't know if he's going to beat out the Joker, because that was a something. He is... Is he more than Darth Vader? Well, you know, his motivations are a lot better than what Darth Vader was in the Star Wars movies, because we find out that he was just upset with his girlfriend and jealous, and that's why he becomes Darth Vader and tries to save her. It was really kind of lame the way they brought that story. But Thanos' story, it's almost like one of those James Bond villains where he thinks, and this is what makes a good villain, they think what they're doing is the right thing to do. Now, his story is he's trying to save the universe by wiping out half of it because it's just overpopulated. It's just too much. They didn't get into that whole thing about him being, Death's boyfriend, and he was trying to impress her. They didn't get into that part of the story. That's in the comic books. But, I'm going to say, yeah, he's up there because he's not a bad guy. In fact, I'll tell you what. I got theories on how they're going to make him a good guy in the next movie. You know that?
You think so? I think... He has to die, though.
Here's what I think, and this is spoilers. If they haven't, people listening to this haven't figured out, we've been doing spoilers all along. You know how the Hulk doesn't want to come out? He's like inside Banner. He won't Hulk out.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You got that. But there's some subtle points that I think have been laid in there. Here's some of the things I saw in this movie, and this is why I think Thanos is going to become a good guy. I think he's being used right now, and he doesn't even realize it. I think the soul gems and all the gems that make up the power cosmic, they're almost like a living creature. They're almost like their own sentient monster, okay? He put them all together. He was obsessed with putting them all together so he could make them do what they want. I think they're using him to do this. And I think we're going to find out there's somebody behind the scenes that has been manipulating Thanos to gather these all together, because they can't. They're like trapped somewhere, almost like an invisible barrier, like Satan's can't step over the ground and they need somebody to do their bidding for him. And they're using Thanos, because here's why. And I think I know who it is. Wow. I think when they showed up on that planet and he goes to get the soul gem and he finds the Red Skull, which was the best surprise I had, because I didn't even see that coming. And I go, oh my God, there's the Red Skull. There's where he was transported at the end of Captain America, the First Avenger. He's been waiting for someone to show up to unleash the soul gem, because he couldn't do it himself, because you had to sacrifice something you love, one soul for another soul. And yeah. And he couldn't do it. And he says, oh, I've been here for a lifetime. I think somehow the Red Skull has found out all these secrets of the soul gem and the universe and the Infinity Gauntlet, but he couldn't do it because he's just a human guy and he needed somebody else to help him. So Thanos shows up. He sacrifices Gamora. She goes into the pit or whatever you want to call it. She's lying there dead. We assume she's dead because they never really show her again. She's just laying there. And then Thanos gets the soul gem. But when Thanos gets it, here's the weird stuff. It doesn't just fly into his hand. He wakes up into some type of little pond. He's like in a little lake, and he rises up, and then the soul gem's there. At the end of the movie, Thor throws Stormbreaker, the axe, into his chest, and it gets him right in the middle of his chest. It almost splits him in two. And then he says to Thor, You made a mistake. You should have gone for the head. Like, you should have thrown the axe at my head and split my head open. All right?
Right.
The next scene, Thanos is woken up, and he's in that same area again where he was when he got the soul gem. And there's little Gamora, like a ghost, and she asks him if he did it. Like, did he, kill everybody? Because he snapped his fingers just before he went into this zone.
Right.
So she goes, yeah, I did it. He goes, what did it cost? He goes, everything. And when he says everything, you're like, wait, what happened to him? Because when he wakes up, the first thing he does is he looks down at his chest to see if that axe is in the middle of his chest, and it's not. And then he doesn't have the Infinity Gauntlet on. So when he's talking to her, this is where I think something's going on. I think somehow he was tricked by the Red Skull. He's still stuck on that planet with Gamora. Somehow the Red Skull has taken his place and has taken. Yeah, and the Red Skull has taken the Infinity Gauntlet. That's not the real Thanos.
Right. That's a huge, huge thing. But I will say this, Mitch. That's something the Red Skull could be capable of.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's. I think Thanos was behind it, but somehow something happened, because at the very end of the movie, he's on Titan again. And he's watching the sunset, and he said, that's what he said, when this is all over, I'm going to go back to Titan, and I'm going to sit and watch the sunset. And that's what he gets. I think it's almost like some type of drug, like he's been seduced by the soul gem.
Did that happen, though? None of that actually happened?
I think somehow the real Thanos is trapped in some fantasy land, like Xanadu or some type of Brigadoon. Like, he's in a dream world. And what's going on is happening, but it's not Thanos. I think it's going to be, you're going to find out it's like the Red Skull, and somehow he's manipulated the Infinity Gems, and he's the one behind it all. And Thanos is going to team up with those heroes that look like they're dead. Spider-Man, Scarlet Witch, all the ones that turned to ash at the end, Bucky, none of them are dead. I think they're all stuck in the same soul gem as with him, and they're all going to team up and break out of it. and on that side, because they also took Doctor Strange with them. So Doctor Strange, you know, has got the mystical arts. There's, let me tell you, if you think all those people are dead, you're crazy. Even Roy says it. You're going to hear it in the interview after we're done talking. Roy's first reaction was, well, you know, none of them are dead. They're not going to kill Spider-Man. They're not going to kill the Guardians. And he goes, it's just a story.
This is an actual, but my friend John actually had a good, another theory. That's a very good theory, Mitch, and it actually has my head scratching, and it could actually be something like that. But he actually said this, because you remember that Doctor Strange finds all the possibilities of winning and losing,
yeah.
And there's only, he thought it was like something like 14 million, but there was one way to
win.
There was one way to win, and that's why he kept Tony Stark alive. But he did something interesting. My friend, something interesting. He says that I'll bet you that when Doctor Strange was dying, he knew he was going to die, and he's in the astral plane. And he jumps off to the astral plane while he disintegrates, and he's still in the works. And he was saying something about the soul gem, but he said the astral plane has something to do with it. Like, it was just a good theory of thinking, like, wait a second, because that's why he had to have Iron Man live, because it was part of the scenario that one way of winning, that he had to be alive.
Oh, the 1 in 14 million possible outcomes?
Yeah. I mean, but, Mitch, to be honest, that theory you have is actually pretty freaking good.
Well, like, and think about the other stuff, too. Maybe that's why Doctor Strange has the time gem. Maybe he went into time, saw what was going to happen in the 14 million, also went back in time and planted some aces up his sleeve, told the Hulk not to come out yet because we need you to come out at a certain point to kick someone's ass, and that's what's going on. That's why the Hulk doesn't want to come out and fight. The Hulk's not a coward. The Hulk would come out and crush anybody, but maybe he's been told by Doctor Strange, don't show up until I give you the signal, because this is how it's going to go down. That's why I think there's a lot more going on than we know. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? It's like, look at the old, wait, it's going to get even better. Look at the old Jim Starlin, Steve Englehart, Roy Thomas. You know the Defenders? Who did they have? Doctor Strange, the Hulk, the Silver Surfer, and the Submariner. Well, we already know they got the Hulk. We already know Marvel's got Doctor Strange. They're about to get the Fantastic Four back, so they would be able to get the Silver Surfer, and he's got the power cosmic and all that. Imagine if that's what they're waiting for Avengers 4, like some character. Maybe it's Adam Warlock that comes back.
This is a good movie in a sense that it's we can't stop talking about it and having theories. Everybody's got a theory, and everybody's got a way of looking at it. Obviously, there's so much more going on that we have not seen. And a friend of mine said, too, that he thinks Carol Danvers, as we see her at the end coming, that she's off planet somewhere doing it, that she's going to take over that role of Silver Surfer or whatever, and she's going to grab...
Maybe it is her. Maybe it is Carol Danvers, because they don't have the Silver Surfer. That's a good thing.
And they might use her as that being that's going to tip the scales where, like, the Silver Surfer did, and she's going to be the one, because she's filled with the creep power, right? Doesn't she have, like...
Yep. And then maybe that's why that special pager, that wasn't a typical pager from the 80s or something that Nick Fury uses at the end to summon Carol Danvers. That's a special, maybe it's a time-traveling signal that he presses down, and it sends a signal to the 90s, because the next Captain Marvel Carol Danvers movie is set in the 90s, right?
Yeah. So what I think the movie's coming out, because it comes out in March, I think.
Right, it comes out before the next Avengers.
Right, yeah. It's going to take place in the 90s. It's going to be basically like the Wonder Woman movie. It's going to have her origins, and her origins are going to be into the 90s, and then she's going to come into prominence at the end of the movie, and then it's going to go, so you're going to find out who she is, what she is, and where she was, and then it's going to go into Avengers, and then she's going to have her main thing. So I think she is a key to the overall ending of this. But Mitch, I'm going to be honest once again. I think your theory is very good about that. There's so much going on that there's so much, like, I think that's what makes these movies so good. It's like, yeah, you get all the action and the jokes and everything, but there's so many depths to it.
Oh, there's levels and layers. Yeah,
there's so many levels that it scratches your head because you don't know really what's truly happening.
Yeah, you can watch this as a big slam-bang fighting movie, which it is, and that's why I think people are in awe of it. But when you read comic books, you always know there's subplots, and I think that's what's going on. I think there's a subplot that most people are ignoring, and then it's going to be revealed, because that's what Roy said when he reviewed the end of the movie, where Roy didn't get, I gave it 5 out of 5 stars, you gave it 4 out of 5, but Roy didn't give it a full rating because he actually says, well, it's only half the story. It's not the full story yet, because that's what the thing is. We're so obsessed with, oh my God, did you see the fights? But Roy, being a creator and a writer, he knows how things work. You've only read half the book. You haven't gotten to the end yet.
Me and you are so dumb, Mitch. We're like, here's our money. Here it is. You can take it.
Roy's like, hey, you rubes. I wrote this. I know how it works. I'm the guy behind the scenes. I'm the guy behind the curtain. I know what happens. You guys are throwing your money at me, and you ain't even seen nothing yet.
Yeah, I know. We're like, take. But, yeah, that makes sense, though. But I can't wait. Now, the only thing that sucks is we got to wait a whole year now, right, Mitchie?
We do have to wait a whole year, and then there's
let me ask you this question. How does this affect you? Because I've been hearing this, and I did feel like it was. A lot of people were saying that this is like the Empire Strikes Back of the Marvel stuff, and I did think that because it ends in such a cliffhanger. Now, Mitch, my question to you is, because you were, and I emphasize were, such a huge Star Wars fan, such a big Han Solo fan, how does this match up to the anticipation for the next movie after you saw Empire Strikes?
When I was a kid, I think I was 13 when The Empire Strikes Back, might have been 12, 13. I saw that movie, and I had loved Star Wars. I saw Star Wars like 13 times or 17 times in the theaters when that came out in 77. Could not get enough of it. There was no DVRs or iPhones. You couldn't watch it again. You had to go to an actual theater to see it. I would follow that movie wherever it would play. I'd beg my parents to drive me to the theater to see it. I hated The Empire Strikes Back when it came out because it did not give you a complete movie. I never went to a movie at that point in my life where there was a cliffhanger and there was no ending to it. And you had to wait not 1 year, 3 years for the next Star Wars movie. When you're a kid, because Empire Strikes Back came out in 1980, The Return of the Jedi doesn't come out till 1983. You know how long it is to wait for something when you're a kid? I'm 12, 13 years old, and I'm watching this movie, and they take my favorite character, Han Solo, they freeze him in a block of metal, and they tell you, oh, we're going to go try to find him. Oh, and by the way, Darth Vader's Luke Skywalker's father. You had no idea what was going to happen, and now they tell you it's not going to be out next summer. It's not going to be out the summer after that. It'll be out the summer after that. So here I was going into high school. I was going to be... No, this is the eighth grade. I wasn't in high school yet. Yeah. So anyway, I was flipping out. I was like, I can't understand this. What's going on? The only thing that made me happy was Marvel Comics had their comic books out. And it says, don't worry, we'll have some further stories with Luke and Princess Leia. But I didn't realize those were not part of the official Star Wars storyline. They were just to keep you amused. So I'd go out and read my Star Wars comic books and think this was great, but
it wasn't. Mitch, I got to ask you this. Was Star Wars the first movie that ever did something like that? Like you literally
had a cliffhanger? Yeah. At the time, yeah. There was, other than those like weekly Saturday serials back in the 30s and the 40s, there was no other big budget movie that ended in a cliffhanger. Never, ever had that ever happened before where they said, oh, by the way, there's no ending to this. You'll have to come back. Now everybody is used to that. They're used to going to movies that leave you hanging like Back to the Future 2, you know, come back next summer and we'll see what happens to Marty McFly. That's a given nowadays. But back then, The Empire Strikes Back was the first big budget movie ever to pull that stunt. And people were flipping out. I remember people yelling that they wanted their money back because they didn't get the full story. Yeah. So.
Wow. Because, see, like I told you, I was never that into Star Wars. But 77, I never saw it. I was way too young.
I do remember
Empire Strikes Back. And I remember it ending. I was still so young. But I remember that being weird. Like, I thought, like, wait a second. Well, what happened?
Exactly.
And then, And then seeing, by the time I saw Return of the Jedi, I was never into Star Wars, but I was already way out of Star Wars that it didn't live up to the hype. So I know Return of the Jedi was a big letdown, but let me ask you this.
What?
Do you think Marvel, with this next, this Avengers, the continuation of this Infinity War saga, do you think it's going to live up to the expectations?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. Because they're the same people like me that grew up watching The Empire Strikes Back and were disappointed a little bit when they saw Return of the Jedi because it got too goofy in some parts of the movie and some of the characters weren't true to their nature. Like, the Han Solo character in Return of the Jedi is not the Han Solo character from The Empire Strikes Back in Star Wars. It's like, what happened to him? Why did he become like an idiot? So they're not going to turn this next movie and make Iron Man a doofus and, you know, Captain America a jerk. They're going to be the better heroic figure than we've ever seen before. They're going to shine brighter than any of the previous movies because they know this is going to be their swan song, and they're going to make everybody go out in style, whether they get killed or not. The next movie will be the ultimate comic book movie. If you thought this one was good, the next one's going to be 10 times better, I think.
Okay, so let me ask you this. How do you think, now, I saw Ant-Man and Wasp, which is looking pretty good. That looked like it. I saw the trailer, which looks fun. You know, how do you think that's going to tie into all this?
Because I think it might be happening, like, at the same time as this is happening, maybe like a day or so before. And it might end with the Wasp turning into Ash, and then then it'll tie into the Infinity War. That's what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to be on their own separate adventure. As this was all going on in New York, you got to remember Ant-Man takes place in San Francisco and California. So, you know, it's a big country. If something's going on in 42nd Street, they don't know about it out in Ohio. So I think this was happening right in New York, and maybe they saw it on the evening news. Because look at the Scarlet Witch and Vision. That just made the news that Tony Stark was disappeared and, you know, that there was a battle in New York. They didn't know about it up in Scotland. They were just going about their day. So I think that's what's going to happen. It's going to be happening concurrently with this film. And then maybe at the very end of it, the Ant-Man will turn into Ash or something like that. And that'll tie into the next movie. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. actually mentioned it last week.
Really?
Yeah, but it was a throwaway line. It was like, oh, something major is happening in New York City. That's it. Because when they do Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they don't know what the movie's going to be like. I'm sure Marvel gives them a heads up, like, hey, this character might be dead, so don't refer to him. But they don't know what the movie's going to look like or give them the whole storyline. So when they're filming Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 3 or 4 months ago, they're like, oh, let's somehow tie it into the big movie. And that's all they did. They just said, oh, something big is happening right now in New York. And I honestly thought Agent Coulson was going to show up at the end of this movie. I was a little disappointed in that. But because he's dying. Yeah. He's dying, right? I know you don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but the wound that he has in his chest from Loki's scepter has started opening up, and he's slowly dying again. They can't fix him. They can't patch it up because the Kree medical technology that they use to bring Phil Coulson back to life is starting to reject, his body's rejecting it, so he's slowly dying again.
Jesus. Well, as you can tell, there's so much to talk about. There's so much speculation.
Well, he's in the next movie. You know. He's in Captain Marvel, you know.
Who?
Coulson, because it's a flashback to the 90s, yeah.
Yeah, I figured he'd be because, like, because he's recruiting her, right?
Right.
Because he was in that recruiting mode when he was recruiting the other event. So they're going to try. Probably Carol Danvers is going to be one of the first recruits, right? Like
we just, like I said, we don't know. Maybe she takes off and goes off into space, like you said. And then we'll have to figure out what happened, you know?
Okay. I got one more question for you, Mitch. I do like that theory you have. My other question to you is this: do we start seeing the abstracts now of the universe? Are we gonna see maybe not Galactus, but like how chaos and order, eternity? Do you think we did see a little bit of the Celestials in the Guardians of the Galaxy? We saw a little bit of the Watchers. But are we going to see those abstracts, even the most powerful of all, the one above all, or the Living Tribunal? Are they going to make an appearance like they did at the end of Infinity Gauntlet in the comics?
Now that you said that, here's one I even think, and I don't know who owns the rights to this character at this point. What if it's Mephisto?
Yeah, Mephisto's with Mephisto's with Marvel.
I know that, but I'm saying I don't know who owns the movie rights to him at this point. What if Mephisto's the ultimate bad guy? We find out, or what if it's Loki again? You don't know. I don't know. What, you know, Thor even says, "I saw him die. I think this time might be for real," because he died. He disappeared at the end of Thor. He died in the Dark World, though it was a trick. And this is the third time he's, quote-unquote, died in this movie. Maybe it was always him manipulating everything behind the scenes, and you think Loki was the good guy because he sacrificed himself to help save Thor in the beginning of this movie. But maybe once again, he's teamed up with Mephisto. He's teamed up with the Red Skull. They're doing something behind the scenes. Like I said, they're using Thanos. I think you're going to be surprised when you find out Thanos in the next movie is not so much of a bad guy and almost comes to their aid and helps them when he realizes he's been used. I wish to God this was next May already, and I can see if my theory is right. But did you see the credits at the end? You know how it always says the Avengers will return, Black Panther will return, all that?
And it said Thanos will return too, right?
Yeah, why would they make the villain the main guy? It says Thanos will return. Because you watch, they're going to somehow turn him. Wasn't he always like that in the comics? He was kind of like an anti-hero. I mean, yeah, he was a bad guy.
So what you're saying is that's another indication that Thanos is going to be a good guy.
Well, not so much a good guy like Captain America or Iron Man, but he's definitely going to be switched. He's definitely going to rally back. Because that'll be no one will see that coming. It'll be like Darth Vader. Darth Vader in Return of the Jedi, you had the ultimate villain. Everybody hated him, but at the very end of those movies, he flips and he turns into a good guy, kills the Emperor, saves Luke Skywalker, and ultimately saves the whole galaxy. That's what I think is going to happen.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think Thanos is going to die?
Yeah, he'll die like Darth Vader did, sacrificing himself to save everybody. That's what I think he'll do at the very end.
To tell you the truth, you got to kind of I yell at Mitch a lot, and I say bad things about Mitch, but Mitch, I'm going to tell you this. I think I'm joining the Mitch train right now. I do like this theory, and I do subscribe to it. Now, I don't know if it's going to be to a T, but I like what you have to say, and I do believe that Thanos is going to become good and die and sacrifice himself.
Hey, I've been reading comic books for 45 years now. I think I could see how these things come out, even though even Roy kind of knows. I should have got Starlin right there when he was smoking a cigarette outside the convention center and just put him on the ground and made him tell me what happens. He's not too worried.
I did ask Starlin this at the last show we were at. He was talking to Roy, and I asked him, I said, "Hey, Jim, I didn't see you in the Avengers." And I go, "I thought you were going to have a cameo." He goes, "Oh, I'm in the next one."
Yeah.
So look for Jimmy in the next one.
Well, you know what? Like I said, remember we talked in the beginning of the show about not talking to these guys about comic books? I purposely did not talk to Starlin about comic books because I was out front of the convention center about 8 in the morning and Jim was there. And we were just talking because he's coming to Terrificon August 17th to the 19th at the Mohegan Sun. So you'll be able to see him again if you missed him in Jersey. But he and I ended up talking about Catholic school and, you know, my favorite Sister Marie Antoinette. We started talking about, you know, what have we hated about Catholic school, how many years we went. I knew he had gone to Catholic school because I've read all his work, and it's always about anti-religion and anti-control. And he said the greatest line I ever heard. In one sentence, he summed up why everything is so screwed up in this world. Jim Starlin looks at me. I'm talking about religion. And he goes, "Well, religion is just a construct by man. You know, man made up religion." And then that just blows your mind because he puts it so succinctly in one sentence. Look, the sun comes up, there's oxygen, we breathe all that. All those are things that are act of nature. We can't control that. But to sit there and come up with different categories of gods and religious beliefs and, you know, Catholics, Christians, Jews, Muslims, all that stuff, that's just mankind's imagination coming up with these different categories. And that's what we're all fighting about. And when you look at it in that term, And from a bigger point of view, you're like, holy, that's really stupid, isn't it? You know? But, again, people read comic books. They don't see these things as anything more than paper entertainment, where I always looked at them as something much more intricate, much more evolved. And if you have an imagination and you can open yourself up to different ideas that come across in comic books, the world will be revealed to yourself. That's why I think they're so great, and that's why the entertainment of comic books will never go away, and that's what fuels us every week on the Power Cosmic, right?
And to quote Joe Carmagna, he had a funny thread up. He goes, "Why do you think that this is going to be the last? Why do you think this is going to be the last? And they can't top this superhero movie." He goes, WrestleMania 3, they had Hulk Hogan on Andre the Giant. He goes, and they're already back, and they're already up to WrestleMania 35.
Yeah.
So they'll always make something better, you know? So, and it's always going to hold our interest, right, Mitchie?
Oh, yeah. Did you ever think they were going to top the first Avengers movie?
I know, if you think that, like, because that was the first time that thing, and then it just got bigger and bigger and better. I know, like, and now this one had everything.
And real quick, I don't want to be the guy that kicks somebody when they're down, but DC, do they have a chance to ever compete with this?
Well, let me ask you this, Mitch. Are you going to go see Aquaman in November?
Oh, is that still coming out?
it sounds so lame. It's funny, I even asked my daughter this. I go, Britta, are we going to go see Aquaman in December? And she's just like, she said the same thing. She goes, oh. Like, it wasn't even
a relationship. Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, I'll go see it. Kind of like that X-Men movie. I think the Dark Phoenix is still coming out. I don't even care. I remember after that last Apocalypse movie, it's like when I go to the comic book store. There's other comic books on the newsstands that I don't pick up. I don't care. I just look right past them and just get the ones I like and move along. I'm sure they're great stories if you like that stuff, but I don't read it, you know? Here's what DC's got coming out. You ready? Aquaman's in December. They said it's already like the new Star Wars. I go, well, if you've been noticing, Star Wars isn't Star Wars anymore, so I don't know if that's a compliment. Then they have Shazam or Captain Marvel. Their Captain Marvel, the DC Captain Marvel, comes out, I think, a month after the Marvel one next year. What the hell? How confusing.
A month after? Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, do you think people are going to care?
No, and judging from, I know, hey, listen, we can't judge from the pictures and stuff because the special effects and all that, but he looked like they blew up, he had those Hulk inflatable muscles.
He looked like the Rage Cage Hulk. Oh, no, the one they used to put on the under your clothes, the puffed up ones. Yeah, it looked pretty bad.
Yeah, that's what he looked like, and it looked bad.
And then the only other one they have coming out that they start production on this year is Wonder Woman 2. Now, that's the only ace they got up their sleeve at the DC movies, is the Wonder Woman movies.
But will they blow it? That's the.
Well, I think it's this gal Gadot. She's so beautiful on screen. Yeah, people just love seeing her.
But people didn't like the casting of that Cheetah.
The Saturday Night Live. I can't think of her name. Yeah, she's a comedian on Saturday Night Live. I don't know. The cheetah doesn't sound like, ooh, the cheetah's here. Run, run, everybody. But what are you going to do? It's Wonder Woman, you know. It is what it is. And then that's it. And then I don't think they're doing a Justice League 2. I think that's done.
Oh, God.
And I don't know whatever happened to that Flash movie. I love the little ray of hope these DC movie fans have. They go, well, they're going to do Flashpoint, and that's where they restart the entire universe again, and they get all new people to play all the characters. I go, so what does that mean? The movies you've been watching have been a waste of time because they know they've screwed this up and they have to, you know, wipe the slate clean and start again? That's kind of sad. You'll see. We'll come back. But they do have Batman movies. I'll give the DC franchise that. They have, as long as they make Batman movies, they're all right, you know? But they don't even have one of those on the agenda. That's not done. Ben Affleck's out.
Yeah, we don't know who's even going to be Batman, right?
They say Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Well, who else would they possibly make another villain? They're going to, what, bring the Joker back again? They've actually gone through the whole really good Batman villains. I don't think they've got anybody left. You know? So, I don't know. Again, that's their problem, not ours. But I think DC's got a very tough time ahead in the movie business, you know?
I think the problem is, really quickly, they're trying to copy Marvel. I think they should just forget about that and start doing some, like, good stories. Like don't try to be, because they went to the Justice League so quick, and it was just, they were trying to be the Avengers, and it just fell so, you can't copy that.
No, you can't.
You gotta let it happen.
The only thing they've done pretty good that I enjoyed in the last couple of years, and I don't even know if they count this, is I enjoyed the Lego Batman movie. I thought that was a really fun picture.
Yeah.
It was for kids, but, you know, it was funny. And now they have a Teen Titans Go cartoon. I don't watch the Teen Titans cartoons, but it looks pretty cute. Maybe that's the only thing they can do now. Maybe they can just be like your basic superhero story, like your introduction to the world of comic books. That's what the DC characters.
I'm going to go with this, though, Mitch. I know DC fans are going to hate to hear this, and I, you know, always try to support DC when I can, but their heroes are just not as cool as the Marvel heroes. It just isn't.
No, the Marvel heroes are human, and the DC heroes are gods. And I don't know about you, but I can't identify with a god, a perfect creature. I can identify with Spider-Man, but I can't identify with Superman.
They're gods, but they're lame. Like, Superman, I'm sorry. Superman is lame. He's lame.
Oh, yeah. We went through this in the 80th anniversary show a couple weeks ago. You can't have anybody fight him. He's got a perfect life. It's all a joke that he's Clark Kent anyway. It's just, they got a new guy, Brian Michael Bendis. He's taken it over. He's done work for Marvel for years. Let's see if he can reignite the Superman excitement, if you will. But that's that. All I know is, how many more times are you going to go see Avengers Infinity War?
I can't stop, Mitch.
And like I said, I keep finding new stuff. I noticed the Mantis stuff. I'm sure there's other things that I haven't picked up yet. Even Wong had a good part in it, for God's sakes. Wong
was great.
I know.
Him and Doctor Strange were working together, like, you know, doing their magic together. They had, like, the moves.
I tell you, okay, we're never going to end this. What was the saddest moment you saw on that screen and almost made you cry, or it didn't make you cry?
Like I said, I cry from exciting parts and sad parts and happy parts, but a sad one that made me a little sad. You know, I got when he started dying and stuff, and I got, like, a little choked up with the Scarlet Witch when she kind of, you know, she was over Vision, and then she kind of, like, faded away. And obviously, the Spider-Man one.
Because, the Spider-Man one broke my heart. That was the one that just looked so sad. You know.
Like his father, you know, he was with his father there because he's in a bond with Tony Stark and stuff, and, you know, it's just so friggin' incredible. Like all of them, they were all tragic.
Well, I mean, you know, some of them just kind of faded off, like the Falcon and Bucky, you know, they went away. And Nick Fury went away with, you know, Maria Hill, the way it was. I was hoping that the Marvel Netflix people would pop up real quick, just like for a scene, you know, like Luke Cage or Jessica Jones. But that didn't happen.
So I got another one going on.
Yeah. In fact, Luke Cage comes back next month. And here's another little tidbit. If people have been listening to the show for the last hour, there's going to be another Marvel actor coming to Terrificon. And that's all I'm going to say. So just keep looking on the website and follow us on Facebook and the show. And actually, here's the thing. Just like the Marvel Infinity Stones and all those movies, if you've been listening to the Power Cosmic podcast all along, the next reveal of the guest has already been announced on the show. You and I went nuts about it about 7 months ago, 6 months ago, and that person is going to be at the show. So if you go back and look at your Power Cosmics, you'll be able to figure out who the next guest is. How creepy is that?
Always creepy, Mitch.
All right, John. And we're, before we say that's that, we're going to say stick around and you'll hear our recording from last week's midnight showing with Mr. Roy Thomas, and you'll hear Rascally Roy himself describe what he liked about the Infinity War, right?
And that's an exclusive.
That's an exclusive. And how do we end things, John? Like Thanos, we snap our fingers and...
That's that.
That's that. Here at the end of the Infinity War, John, what'd you think?
I've never seen anything. The scope was just ridiculously big. It was
right,
unbelievable. Like, just it was so almost overwhelming for me. Like, I could not breathe some of these things.
It was the ultimate king-size annual. Non-stop action for 2.5 hours.
Non-stop. Yeah. Maybe one of the greatest things I've ever seen. I still might be one of the ones dying. I'm afraid I'm going to turn to dust.
We got 10 minutes of credits before we see a scene.
The love between Vision and Scarlet Witch was unbelievable. I felt it. Wait, hold on. What do you think, Roy?
It's okay. It's too cosmic for me. I liked it. You know, it's too cosmic for me. I like my stuff a little more down to earth than that. But you know, it's not a complete story yet. So right. You'd have to see the one next year to really know. You know, what it's next year. I can't believe all those people are dead because not Spider-Man is not dead. You know, and all these people are dead. There's a room to look at a new reality, and some of those people will die, but some of them will be back alive. You know,
yeah.
They didn't kill off all those people.
But the effects were unbelievable.
Oh well, the effect. Oh yeah, it's great.
Here's my question: Is Jim Starling gonna retcon the little scar that Thanos got?
Oh no. We still got like 10 more minutes of this. All I want to know is why. Why do you do this? Why can't we just have a bad guy? Did you see the Red Skull? Was that the biggest surprise?
I have you ever seen effects as good as this?
No, what do you think your Hulk battle? I knew you'd be upset about the Hulk getting his ass kicked.
The Hulk sucked. Thor was awesome.
Thor was the best. He really was, yeah.
Thor was incredible.
Look at everybody in this thing. Look at it. Wong's in it. Mantis was there. Drax, Groot, Rocket.
I can't believe...
Potts, the Collector. It says Benicio del Toro. I didn't think it was him.
Bus driver, Stanley.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Roy's going to get his credit for this. Just take a picture.
Hold this.
Yeah, all right. We're going to take Roy's pictures here. Just saw Roy Thomas's name come up in the list of credits. Most of the names have been of people that have been at my show, so if you don't think I have the world's greatest comic con, you're a fucking idiot. Easy now. People that just brought you $250 million movie.
I fucking did that love between
Industrial Light and Magic. Then we got some people coming up there. Ryan Mynerding was at the show last year, head of visual arts. Look at these people. We're just sitting here. It's midnight here. We're going back to the con. Just incredible here. Non-stop action. That's all I can think.
They thank Michael Carbo.
Mike Carbo. I said the same thing last night. I said that when I saw it with Jerry Tom. Well, I said Jerry Ordway. I said, oh, look, it's Mike Carbo. I can't describe it. I tell people, that's why I told you I woke up today. I was stunned. I was like, this was the most incredible movie I've ever seen for comic books. And Jerry goes, oh, no, it's not the greatest movie. I go, oh, no, it is. It's the greatest comic book. It's the greatest comic book action movie. And Marvel deserves credit for coming up with a technique to make people sit and watch every single name in a movie that nobody gives a crap. Look at these people. Who are these people?
I was looking for that grip right there.
Yeah, oh, the tracking guy is my favorite guy. The lighting, the paint, the catering, the masseuse, visual effects team, artists. This sure beats the Hulk TV show from the 80s.
'70s.
When he had the wig on. Oh, my God. It's still going. We're going to get more of Roy's reaction when the credits end and we're walking back to the hotel.
I absolutely fell in love with the Scarlet Witch in this. I don't know, like, I thought she did. And Steve Rogers.
Oh, Steve's the best.
He was so awesome.
Let me tell you, I saw Elizabeth Olsen last night on the Jimmy Kimmel show, and I fell in love with her all over again, too. If you saw that interview she did last night, I was like, oh, my God. I never realized the Scarlet Witch was... Everybody had a moment in it. Did you think they were going to be able to put a moment in? I thought the Guardians of the Galaxy stole the show, actually.
It just kept going, though. It was like... It was a little overwhelming.
No, Thor was the best, I think.
Yes. When he came out with
with
Thor.
The lightning at the end. What did you think about Bruce Banner, though? Kind of like,
Nah, he was a bad...
The Hulk is too scared to come out. I mean, I think he'll shine the next one.
Doctor Strange was good as well.
Yes. And the dynamic between Tony Stark and Strange was awesome. You want to film this? I mean...
It's coming up. Yeah. All right, we're going to watch the teaser. All right.
There she is.
Captain Marvel.
There she is.
Ms. Marvel. So
there she is. Look at Thanos.
I think if somebody didn't know they were coming out with another Avengers movie next year, I think they could be a little confused about this movie. You know, it doesn't seem like an end, you know.
Wait, Roy, though, what do you think? Carol Danvers coming.
Yeah, well, they're going to need more than her, I
think. Not if you're writing it.
Yeah.
I didn't think, what did you think, Roy?
Two-parter.
Huh?
I didn't want to, I knew they said they were filming two parts, but I was like, maybe they just said that. And then I was like,
No, they did. I don't know. They were going to, you know, call the X-Men, like, part one and part two, but then they decided not to do it. But they made the movies anyway. They just didn't title them that way. They'll have a different title. Remember, Starlin did three different Infinity
Whatevers.
So they can use the next one. They could call it Gauntlet. They could give it a whole different title that doesn't have the word Infinity in it. You know, they could do whatever.
Captain Marvel takes place in the 90s.
But that's when they're probably...
So she's going to go back in time?
Well, there's probably going to be her history. Like, I think it's almost like Wonder Woman. I think it's going to be something
she doesn't age?
No, I just think they're going to talk about her origin in the 90s and then how she comes of age.
Carol Danvers?
Yeah, I guess.
That's pre and the whole Marvel.
But the problem is that in order for this to be, you know, really effective, if they kill off all these people, they ought to stay dead, you know. And the problem, not only do I not want them to, but they're not going to have Spider-Man.
Yes.
You know, Spider-Man. They might, some of these people might stay dead, but they're not going to let all those characters stay dead and everything. And they're going to have to, you know, it's going to be a trick to do that without it seeming kind of like it was another, like it was a cheap trick and make people wait a year to see who comes back to life. It reminded me of those, what's the movies they have?
The series
they have where the people. I meant where. You know, like some of the people, like what a certain percentage of people on Earth disappear. They've had a couple of those, you know. You know, they had that series where like one person out of every so many on Earth died.
Right.
Or suddenly disappeared.
Because
remember?
He killed half the galaxy, right? That's
yeah,
the,
yeah,
that's the
disappeared.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that kind of thing, you know.
Kind of like the Rapture.
But there was that other one, though, where suddenly some series where half the...
Oh,
a certain percentage of people suddenly disappeared. Yeah, I don't know, but it was like
some
that.
Kind of religious,
you know. Kind of religious thing. So, and all of a sudden, you know, certain people, you know, certain. But the thing is, you know, if they don't stay dead,
I don't know if the Vision's not. Vision looks like he might be staying dead.
Where's Ant-Man?
And look, well, they mentioned him. He's off somewhere.
Well, yeah.
Ant-Man and who's the other one?
Hawkeye.
They mentioned them that they would.
But Ant-Man's with the second phase.
The one that comes out in a month.
Well, if they'd had Hawkman and Ant-Man.
Yeah, he's with those. Yeah, so he's with
that's going to be before this.
Yeah.
The Ant-Man movie's probably going to be before this.
Yeah.
Because it can't be after all this, because the no.
The scope of this was so big, though. It was kept going.
Again.
That's what I'm saying. I saw this tonight. This is I saw it twice in 24 hours.
No,
I just can't wrap my mind around it.
Did they, big. I woke up this morning.
Did Thanos start looking real to you? Like he started actually looking real. Yeah, but he started looking like a real person. Josh, yes.
He even had razor stubble. Yeah. If you noticed, at one point he had like stubble.
Josh Brolin's voice for him was so big.
I never pictured Thanos being that gigantic.
Yeah, he's a little smaller than the Hulk.
Yeah. Oh, was he?
The Hulk's got to get some redemption. That baby stuff was too much.
The power thing. You said that's what gave him the strength to kill the Hulk.
Well, yeah, because he had the power gem and all that. And Loki went too.
Loki's gone. Heimdall's gone.
Yeah.
Where's Valkyrie? Where's Valkyrie? I assume she got wiped out with the other.
Yeah,
probably. They may or may not ever bring her again. She could still be around somewhere.
Grandmaster will have to be in the next one.
He could have survived. I can see them send the script to Jeff Goldblum, who'd been in, and they said, he had a kind of energy part, and they suddenly send his part, and he says, wait a minute, they start off, I'm getting stomped on, I've spent a whole time on the ground, I don't do anything except get tortured for a couple of minutes, then it's done. I said, I think I'll pass on this one.
Well, they did stuff off screen. They wiped out Xandar and the Nova Corps.
Yeah.
Because he said he had the stone. They didn't show you that. So
Right, because they had the power gem, right?
Yeah, so he whatever he did to Xander.
Yeah, he laid it to wait.
I missed Howard the Duck. I thought.
Oh, yeah. Where's the man thing when you need him? Where's the get Gerber at them?
Either way, thumbs up.
Oh, my God, yeah. It's beyond belief. It really is. I waited my whole life to see this. You remember when we were excited they did an Iron Man movie? Then we were excited they did a Thor movie? This is a freaking king-size annual come to life.
I pick up here, like, drop a stone.
Roy, how many Infinity Stones? Roy Thomas Infinity Stones, you get it.
I don't know nothing about Infinity Stones. I never read that stuff.
No.
He says, how many do you give it?
Yeah, how many do you give it? Like five stars?
Oh. I give it 3 kidney stones.
Yeah. I don't know. I probably was less enthusiastic about it than you were.
You know what I want to say?
I give it like 3 or 4 out of 5. I mean, it was not as really? Good as, not, but, you know, it's there are a lot of parts I liked in it, but... I can't see him calling off all those people. If they're not going to stay dead, I don't think they should.
It's a fake out. Yeah, at the end of the day, it becomes like a trick.
But of course, some of them will die. If you want to kill a few people off.
Well, it was a kill in the beginning of it.
But it was what it was supposed to be. You know, it was a different kind of movie. I mean, you know, some people would like, the one kind of would like the Black Panther kind of movie the best. Some would like an Ant-Man because it's a little small picture. You know,
well, yeah,
the cosmic stuff, as I said, has never been my thing. I didn't like
it. It's too big.
I didn't
like it. I'm sorry. That's all I wanted.
How much cooler would it have been instead of the Red Skull that was Dr. Doom that he saw there?
I thought that was a nice tie-up. No. Because I always wondered what happened to the Red Skull.
Yeah. Mm.
How many stars, Mitch?
Well... 5 out of 5.
I have to go. I got to go.
4.5 out of 5.
Yeah, 4.5 out of 5 for me. All mean, just the
Well, the fact that I got to wait a whole of the year wasn't too thrilled. I'm like, oh,
and what about you, Johnny?
Oh, it was a five out of 5.
Star Wars
movie. I have to see it again because I can't wrap my mind around it. We're radio jerks. But once I see it again, then I get a little bit more perspective on it. But right now, it's just
the scope was so big.
I'm so blown away by it.
Well, there you go. This is we're going to be leaving right now the theater. I don't want people to be jumping me because they thought I filmed the whole movie. But I give it 4.5 out of 5. I loved Thanos, though. I'm not a Thanos fan, but I loved him.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.